Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now, here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Everyone, and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 194. Are you ready to join the clan? Today we have Mike Zigari, a serial entrepreneur and a recovering physical therapist. After founding and being the driving force behind a very successful in-home physiotherapy business for several years, Mike was ready to turn his attention to new opportunities and challenges, so he became an Amazon seller. Hello, Mike.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you for coming. You know, the clan is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a little bit about your background, about what you did before you started your own online business?
Right. So I'm going to start back when I was in high school, and I used to sell on eBay. I actually used to buy tickets on Ticketmaster, and my friend and I, we would wake up at like, 7, 8 in the morning, and we plan out which tickets we were going to purchase that day. And we'd actually sell them on eBay. And that was my first taste of selling online, which was way back, 15, 16 years ago at this point. And we actually did pretty well because it was quite a big thing to sell tickets on eBay back in the day. But then, college hit and I had to choose something for my major. And I chose physical therapy mainly because my father was in an accident and he had a shoulder issue. And he basically messed up his shoulder. And I went with him to physical therapy and I thought, you know what, I could do this. Let me go for it. But fast forward 5 years in physical therapy school, I'm telling you, it was the most stressful time of my entire life. Still to this day, I think those 5 years were my least favorite 5 years doing the work. Meeting people was great, but actually going through physical therapy school, I knew back then that I was not meant to be a physical therapist. Patients, I'm telling you, my hair was falling out. I was stressed out, all of these different things. And so after physical therapy school, I had a job. And then within a year and a half, I realized, well, I don't really love having a boss. I want to be able to do something on my own. So I started an in-home practice. And with an in-home practice, you don't need any overhead. It's kind of like you're going to the patient's home, you bill Medicare. So they don't have to pay any money. And basically, I started to develop a team and all the skills needed to start a team and marketing and running an office and all of those things slowly happened. And about 8 years into it, I hired a coach and I was doing well, but I was just kind of scraping by. And my coach said, listen, you have a lot of juice. You're putting all of your energy into something that is not going to be fruitful for you. Your passion isn't there, but you have a lot of juice. I see you in importing and exporting. And I was like, coach, what does that mean, importing and exporting? Can you enlighten me? And he's like, I don't know any more than that, but I see you in importing and exporting. Not 2 days later, I was lying on my couch and I was scrolling through Facebook and I came across an opportunity and it was all about drop shipping on eBay, basically buying stuff from Amazon and Walmart and selling it on eBay and doing retail and online arbitrage. And I watched the video, I fell for the story, and I used that as a leverage point to my online success journey. I went from one failure to the next. And before you know it, I got into e-commerce and FBA. And then that was my story. That was way back in 2015. And it's been a great career ever since. A total new shift in direction.
Wow. What a challenge, but at least you didn't stay in the same job and otherwise you would have gone bald.
Yeah,
You said that your whole health was really going down. Wow. Ooh. Thank you for sharing. What is the most dangerous belief an owner and entrepreneur can have?
Well, that's an interesting question. So I would say the fear, just general fear and doubt in yourself, can slowly eat away at you over time. I had to go through a series of classes and courses and books to work on myself because I did have a lot of doubt and fear. And that's when I really started to make a change. Back in 2014, I was partaking in sort of situations and friendships that really didn't serve me very well in my business. And it was getting me into a bad mind space. And I had to really relearn a bunch of different things. So I went to a bunch of courses, a bunch of classes, a bunch of like boot camp classes, a bunch of camps. And I read a ton of books on how to slowly start to shift mindset. And what I was doing was I was so fearful around money. I was focused on money. I was focused on achieving more money and getting more money. And that was really just not good for me whatsoever. And once I started to relax around that, then the creativity started to flow. The ideas started to show up. The opportunities started to flow in. So if I had to give any advice to an entrepreneur starting out, it would be to really invest in yourself and really invest in your mindset and really take the time every single day to get into alignment with your true heart and your virtues and just really calm your head down and get into your heart and then find your own and carve your own niche from there.
Why do you do what you do?
Yeah, I do what I do because I absolutely love, I love what I do. I wake up every day and it's like there's a drive, there's a passion to create. And I think the number one thing for me is creation right now. I want to get more into contribution. It's been something that's been on my list, like contributing more and getting out there and putting my time into ways that I can contribute more. But for right now, it's really about creating great stuff. And when I'm in that creation space, I feel like time just goes by so fast. It's effortless, it's easy, and it all just pours out of me. So whereas before, I used to see patients all day and it would pay the bills, but I would spend 9 hours a day in a situation where I wasn't happy, I wasn't creative. Medicare dictated what I had to do. My boss dictated what I had to do. I was stifled. There was only so much money I can make. Here, it's like, wow, I can build a team. I can inspire a team. I can sit down and come up with an idea and I can and make that idea come to life. To me, that is why I wake up in the morning at this stage. And it is shifting over time, but creation and creativity is where it's at for me.
Let's put the man aside because you are in the business before. How do you know you are successful?
Because I wake up and I feel good about what I'm doing. I feel like that is the measurement of success in my eyes. You know, there are certain things where I can compare myself to other people and be like, well, I'm not quite there yet in this area or in relationships or in this. But whenever I compare myself to anybody, you know, going through social media and seeing certain things and thinking like, oh, I should be at this area of my life. That's when I feel the worst and the most miserable. When I feel the best is when I wake up in the morning inspired to do and create. And that to me is a measurement of success, not the amount of money in my bank account, not the amount of, you know, experiences do play into it. But it's to me, it's more like, how do I feel every single day? Am I feeling good? Am I feeling aligned? Am I working and am I growing? That's a huge thing too. My coach always used to tell me that if you're not growing, you're dying. And I think that that is really important in my life. Whenever I stop learning for whatever reason, stop listening to books, stop listening to podcasts, stop going to courses, I know something shifts inside of me and I'm not as happy as I could be. But when I go to these classes and courses, like last week, I just went to SellerCon and there were so many great speakers there. Learned a ton and I feel much more inspired and I heard so many great things and it's like this is the rocket fuel that and the substance that just helps me grow in a great direction. So to me, it's all about growing, learning, feeling inspired, and feeling happy. That's the most important measurement of success.
Can anyone be an entrepreneur or are some people more cut out for it than others?
I believe, yes, I believe that is true to a certain degree. You know, I have a lot of people that I grew up with who are perfectly happy and comfortable doing the 9-to-5 because it brings them a level of security. And to me, I thrive more on the uncertainty of being an entrepreneur and the creativity behind it. But lots of people I know are totally happy doing the 9-to-5. They want to be told what to do or maybe that they're just not, they're not really cut out for it for whatever reason. But I know that me, I am psychologically unemployable. So I am not cut out to be working or having a boss at this point. It is literally impossible. I'd rather live in a shack somewhere in the middle of nowhere than have a boss at this point. So yeah, so just like I'm not cut out to be employed, I think there are people that are not cut out to be entrepreneurs. And you know, for them, maybe there's also opportunities where they can do companies like, because I consider myself an entrepreneur in the sense where I love to create new things and see where the problems are out there and then create problems and solutions around it. So for an example, we did that with our software company, and now we look for problems in the Amazon space and we look to fix it through our software. So that to me is my definition of an entrepreneur, but there's also opportunities out there where you can work with other people's businesses. Like I know there's MLM opportunities if you're not a true entrepreneur or really want to have some structure in your opportunity. There are other opportunities out there for people.
What have you learned from business as a whole?
What have I learned? Wow, that's a good one. I have learned a lot from business. I feel like business is the vehicle for personal development and growth. So in the vehicle of business, it's like I have to grow in order to overcome obstacles every single day. I have to learn. I have to connect with people. I have to learn how to build a team. I have to learn, read a book, all of these different things in order to grow. So for me, it's been an incredible avenue of growth. I've learned about not only like business management and marketing and how to create and how to build a team, but I've also learned about things like spirituality and how to be the best version of myself, which is totally a work in progress. And to me, like that has been the greatest gift of entrepreneurship. It's like a vehicle for self-development and growth and learning.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
Oh, I would say giving it my all every day. You know, I do the best that I can every single day. And it doesn't always look like amazing production. And there's days that are way better than other days. But for the most part, every day I'm looking to give my best, whatever that is for that day. Some days, like the other day, I was like, you know what? I feel a little bit stuck right now. And we want to overcome this hurdle that we had in our business. The one thing that I need to do today is to listen to this book that was recommended to me. And I spent an entire day listening to a book. But that day, I gave it my all. I did. And that was a day that, yes, we weren't producing, we weren't creating, but I was coming up with new ideas for the future by reading this book. So I would say that people would say that Mike Zagari gives his all every single day, whatever that may be. And I think that's a big part of the success is just basically giving the best you can every single day over a period of time until the compounding effect takes into effect.
Earlier, you mentioned that you had a mentor. What is the most valuable thing your mentor has told you?
So I've now have had three different mentors. And I would say the most valuable thing that my first mentor told me was to read a book called Letting Go. This book called Letting Go really did change my life. It's by David Hawkins. And it was a book. It's a book about letting go of fear, letting go of pain, letting go of shame, guilt, all of these things that could hold us back and stop us and put blocks in place of our progress. So this book, I really took it to heart and I read it several times. And it was really a great book. And he really knew how to call me out on my BS. Like he would ask me a question and I'd be like, I don't know. And he would go, you do know. And I would really be challenged to dig deeper and to learn more about myself, to uncover some of the blocks. And all of this stuff, you know, in my opinion, it really ties into business because if one area of my life was off, it would impact another area of my life. So if I had an issue with a relationship with my family or my relatives or a girlfriend or whatever it is, if that was holding me back, it would also play and spill over into my business. So like I said before, entrepreneurship has been a great area of discovery and learning who I am, why I do what I do, and then uncovering and basically finding more peace in my life through entrepreneurship. As wild as that may sound.
What is one thing no one knows about you?
Oh, wow. Interesting. So I absolutely love to travel. I will travel on a whim. I will just basically get into a car and go somewhere, especially if there's a bad storm coming. I love to be in the thick of Mother Nature in her fury. So like if there's a bad, wicked hurricane coming or a bad snowstorm, I will actually travel out of my way. And I will storm chase to be in the middle of that snowstorm or that hurricane or that bad thunderstorm. For some reason, whatever it is, it excites me. And I love seeing Mother Nature as long as it's safe. I love seeing Mother Nature.
Well, I don't think that is safe. It's just like danger.
Yeah, it is a little dangerous. I know my parents used to go nuts when I did it when I was 20.
Wow. Okay. Wow. What grounds you?
Oh, meditation. So I meditate in the morning and sometimes in the evening as well. What I do is I do about 45-minute long meditation, and then I also do journaling, and I also do sometimes I do like affirmations in the morning as well. I start my day like that. For about an hour, I'll do all of that practice, and then I'll go and I'll do my first round of work on my business, and then I'll exercise. So I think a combination of meditation, exercise, and then also getting out in nature. Like right now, it's summer season, so I'll go to the beach in the evening time, and I'll stick my feet in the sand. And I'll bring my journal and I'll work on something just by looking in the water. And I feel really grounded doing that. Also, you know, sometimes some coursework that I take grounds me as well, because it helps me get through some tougher times in life. So I would say meditation, journaling, and exercise and nature.
Tell us the 7 most common mistakes and the pitfalls for every alias seller.
I would say the biggest thing is not differentiating yourself from everyone else in some way is a big mistake. I know that when I come out with a new product, like our software or whatever it may be, I know that in 6 to 10 months, someone's going to come and rip it off. I know it. You know, that's just the way it is. So it constantly makes me want to create new things. And that's what I love to do. So I love to be creative. And I feel like making a Me Too product in some way is not being really creative. And I think it's a failure method going forward. So I think, you know, innovation and creating new stuff in the marketplace is something that people need to do more of and less copying and imitating. Also, another common mistake, I would say, I mean, I could even name some of the mistakes that I've made. I would say a mistake that we've made even recently is being too impetuous with our hiring and not spending more time hiring people and really vetting people to make sure they're a good quality fit for our team. We recently hired somebody and made a couple mistakes in hiring, and it really does set us back quite a bit. The one thing we did learn was we learned to let go of people faster. So if it wasn't working out, we learned to let go of them within a couple of weeks. But you know, the hiring process, we're now working on prolonging that and making sure that this person is a good fit for us, making sure that we interview more people before we bring on that person and bring them into our culture. So that's another one.
Okay, tell us the best practice for optimizing sponsored products campaigns.
Oh, that's a big one. Okay, so best practices. Well, there's basically 4 ways to optimize. You can optimize your, you know, think about it. You have a campaign set up. You have an ad group in that campaign. You could have multiple ad groups. If you have SKUs inside of those ad groups, we call it SKU optimization, where you optimize the SKU that is underperforming in that ad group. So that's basically like pausing the SKUs. That's one way. The second way is to optimize based on bid adjustments. So bid adjustments are super important, and weekly it's important to go into your campaigns and make sure that you optimize your bids to make sure that they are still within a good range for your targets. So you need to know how much you want to spend on a particular keyword and what your target ACOS is, and then you can adjust your bid accordingly, up or down. So you may find that a keyword that was working many years ago is no longer profitable, so you may opt to lower that bid price, or you may find that your bid is no longer aggressive enough because there's other competitors in play, and you may have to raise that bid price. So all of these things come into play with bid adjustments. And the other two ways are through what we call negative optimizations, where you find the search terms that customers are using, and you can use them as part of a negative exact or a negative phrase match. And there's a subtle difference between the two, but the point is basically you are telling Amazon which search terms you don't want visibility for, and this way Amazon's not going to show your ad for those campaigns. We have a search terms. We have a blueprint that's available that goes into this in more detail. That's completely free.
Thank you. Tell us new, unique of driving traffic in today's crowded seller market.
Yes, it is much more crowded for sure. So there's lots of different ways to drive traffic and get keyword ranking. You know, there's internal traffic and there's external traffic. So internal traffic is through sponsored products. There is and sponsored brand ads. There's a big initiative towards sponsored branding ads, which is really cool because sponsored branding ads are the highest level or the top of the search, basically. When somebody's searching for a product, they could potentially see your product up at the very top of Amazon. So I feel like that is an area that is going to become really important for sellers. And a lot of sellers are not doing that the correct way. There's lots of opportunity there. So that's one way to drive traffic. The other way to drive lots of internal traffic is through product targeting. Now, you'll notice in the search term reports that product targeting ads, they get a lot of visibility. A lot of people are searching on other products and they're seeing other sponsored product ads. So by targeting your competition and knowing where to target through these product targeting ads, there's lots of opportunity there as well. So that's an area too that I don't think a lot of sellers are really capitalizing on just yet. And of course, sponsored products ads is a big thing. Now, in terms of external traffic, lots of people are still using influencers. Lots of people are still using Facebook. Lots of people are doing the ManyChat flows with search, find, buys, which is basically telling people what to search for, how to find your product, and then buy it, which gives you keyword ranking. I've also heard of lots of people having success with press releases as well as YouTube, because YouTube is one of the greatest drivers of traffic to Amazon. In fact, if you look at the traffic trends, YouTube is the number one social media platform that drives traffic to Amazon. Also, there's a lot of traffic that comes from Google over to Amazon as well. So a huge percentage of traffic comes from Google. So if you can start to work with your SEO and get your Amazon listings ranked on Google for main keywords, that could be another great way to drive traffic to your Amazon listing.
Wow. Let's talk about PPC margins. Tell us about it.
I'm so excited about Entourage margins because it came out of necessity. Last year, we had an issue where Amazon was overcharging us on FBA fees. So we got charged $11 per unit, now times thousands of units, instead of $6. So you guys do the math. We were overcharged thousands of dollars. And it took a while before we caught it. So that was a problem right there, catching the mistake. And then we had to go in and we had to organize all of the orders, and it was such a mess. So Entourage margins started from there. We wanted to know exactly how much margin we were making at the end of the day in our business. We also wanted to know that we wanted to know how much margin we were making on a SKU by SKU level. So what we did is we broke down all of the SKUs that go into an Amazon Seller Central account, and we broke down all of what we call the margin eaters. Now, these are the things that Amazon charges us for that could eat into our margins, like the FBA fees, the PPC fees, the returns, promo fees, and storage fees. So this is critical because we want to know which one of these margin eaters are eating into our margins so that we can take action. We want to find Amazon's mistakes and take action, or we want to see where there's opportunity. Maybe you have plenty of margin left over and you could put more money into PPC, or you could put more money into promos, you know, so there's opportunity there as well. So the beautiful thing about Entourage margins is that it's like a diagnostic tool. You go in there and you see an overview of your entire account, how much money you're actually making, and then you dig into each SKU to see where you're falling short for whatever reason. Maybe Amazon overcharged you in FBA fees, so your overall margins went down from 30% to 20%. Now you can dig into this, you can find the FBA fees where you overcharged, and you can try to get reimbursement for those FBA fees, and you could have Amazon remeasure your product. Again, with PPC fees, if you go into the PPC tab, you can see that this SKU is being overcharged, or you're spending too much money on PPC, meaning the PPC ad spend margin impact is too high and it's eating away at your profit margins. Then you can go ahead and you can take action by optimizing or allocating your budget elsewhere. So it's basically like an intelligence tool that's going to help you steer your ship in a more profitable direction.
Where do we find this product and how can we connect with you?
Great. So you can find it on ppcentourage.com/margins, or if you just go to ppcentourage.com and you drop down, you go to the product section, go to margins. And you could also find me on Facebook. There's the Entourage Seller Community. That's where I hang out. I answer questions there pretty much every day. And you could also email me at mike@ppcentourage.com.
Thank you. So, Glenn, there will be more from Mike in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms rather than my website and you are encouraged by Mike's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Mike's journey or over 150 other journeys that are available and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and mind.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey Clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path, so make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in, and if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of Patience and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.